The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, and many other nicknames. Host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City, that premieres on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96 or 422-4796. And it's a pleasure to have you on. My sponsor today for the show is Joey's Restaurant, which is situated out on Ahwaukee. If you listened last week on the show, we had two outstanding business owners on the show from Fish Fries, and one of those, he goes by the name of Brooke Short, but most people know him as Scrubber. He is a wonderful young business owner. His business now is expanding to Canada. So he sponsored this show for a few weeks. We want to say thanks to Brooke Short, formerly known as Scrubber. And if you want the nicest set of food, fish, crock, conch, etc., stop by Joey's Restaurant on Ahwaukee Fish Fry. Thank you very much. And I want to say thanks to all my listeners and Facebook friends who tune into Inside Inner City every Friday. And also all those who have given me a thumbs up for the awesome job I'm doing. I want to say a very thank you to everyone. Okay, Facebook friends. Mr. Bowleg, respect, bless up. Tonight's show, we're going to talk about... We're going to talk about immigrants who died at sea trying to reach to a better place, but in their struggles to get here, many of them lost their lives. You also want to talk a little bit about the smuggling, you know, find out a little bit more about that. So not other than to talk about the person who represents that community is also Bahamian, but he also represents Haitian national status, you know, those who are less fortunate in the country, which are all over the country, and he speaks for those. And that's the one other than former talk show host on the same particular station, Luby George, and we're going to ask him a question and get a better view and understanding on the situation on Haiti, the situation on the smuggling that goes on here in the country, and how we can find ways to eradicate that problem, and we need to have a discussion on it. We also want to talk about how it's affecting us here in the country, you know, as a nation. Okay, so he'd be coming in a few minutes. He's on his way. So just hold on for a few minutes and meet up Mr. George in the studios in a few minutes. I want to give out a quick community announcement. You know, see, I always say that when you do great things in a country, you get rewarded. I want to say what a wonderful funeral celebration was held by Salem Union Baptist Church for the late, great Dr. Charles W. Sanders, former pastor of Salem Union Baptist Church. He passed it on to Pastor Hugh the role, and you can see he was an extremely great man. You saw Philip Brave Davis, the Prime Minister of Commonwealth of the Bahamas, spoke at a funeral. Many extinguished members of the Bahamian Society were there. And just to see the respect they showed to the late, great Dr. Charles W. Sanders. You know, so I always say that if you deal with integrity, honesty, and you go out there and you help people along the road, some people you might forget, but your goodness and your sacrifice that you made to better your country, you will be rewarded in life and in death. And in death, he got a well-sent funeral and had a state funeral. And that's what I'm talking about. And I want to remind those who hold who we call a high anarchy in the country. We're talking about politicians and pastors alike. Do you see how he was put down? Do you see the respect that he was given? You know, only a very few had those kind of funerals like that. Sir Lyndon Penland, the late great Sir Lyndon Penland. We just our late great Otto T. Hanna, and you know, Sir Randall Fox, you know, Kendall G. L. Isaac, you know, Marlo B. Butler, you know, and et cetera. You know, they were sent off with the utmost respect from the Bahamian public, and their name is still legendary today. So I would advise those who in the parliament, you know, politicians and pastors and et cetera, nurses and doctors and police, hold high standard and integrity so that when you pass away, that you will be respected. I don't know if it's going to get you in heaven. I can't speak for Mr. Sanders. He was a Christian, but I still can't speak for him. He got a warm welcome here in the flesh and on this earth. So I guess that by living the standards that he spoke on, I guess that he is in a better place and that he is accepted in the heaven. You know, I can't say that, you know, but I'm saying to you, you know, I'm sure that he is in a better place. So this is a reminder that anytime you do good, good follow you. And what a wonderful man. I got to know so much about him, but actually I did work with him over 25 years ago when we started a basketball tournament. Myself, Wayne and 3579, and deceased Douglas Johnson. So we worked with the late great Reverend Sanders. You know, so, and then I get to learn more after his passing, and then he had the stories and the stories and the stories. So thumbs up to a great man. And I hope that this teaches all those in parliament, in the church, that this is the way, you know, to go. Okay, Louis George is in the studios. Oh, I see Mr. Bryce in studio. A quick community announcement. Also, Louis George is the host. What's up, bro? I want to give a quick announcement. You know, we always trying to better the community in partnership with the Gaming Board of the Bahamas. And we can. We're having a every Saturday at McPherson Park, which is we call H Street Park, from 1 to 4, we'll be giving away a free hot meal. Music and community fund will be available every Saturday. And this is a great initiative. We just get the community together, give them something to eat. So this is a wonderful, wonderful gesture. Also, last but least, March 9th, the Lenhan organization will be doing a 3 weeks basketball tournament again on H Street Park. It was actually named McPherson Park. It'll be for 3 weeks to get the community back together. So prepare yourself for 3 weeks. You're going to have a wonderful time with a nice basketball program just to get the community more proactive. Okay, we get the main man in the studio. Everyone knows Louis George. He does not need to introduce himself. But just for all the listeners that do not know him, Louis George has actually gone to the next step. Louis, I hear you taking steps. What it is now? You're in what? You're in what's up? We could, a little bit more, we're going to talk about it. But that's one. I wanted Louis George in studios today because he is also an activist. And listen, what goes on in our country today affects all of us in our communities. We are people who are behemoths. I'm not calling nobody nothing. We are behemoths. We have a serious problem going on in the country. We just lost some lives at sea. We'd like to talk to Louis George and see how we can come up with solutions and ways and how we can find to try and eradicate these problems. But we need to get a clear understanding of what's going on in Haiti, what's going on in the Bahamas. And we're going to see how we can have a good, wonderful conversation and to take this forward. So, Louis,
hey,
this is your old station, right? You did a wonderful and fantastic job on this station. And you never stop your activism. You know, you never stop. And you're just like me. You know, I'm fighting for behemoths. You know, I'm fighting for behemoths. You're fighting for the same thing, you know, because you know the struggles of people on the whole. You know, there's a hard struggle out there. Many people are losing their lives just to try and to get a better life because they're running from something that they're not used to. People want to live where they can actually survive and be peaceful, but circumstances, you know, that happens over the course of centuries has actually slowed the progress of the family structure. Jamaica, destroyed the family structure in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, Haiti, and, you know, and et cetera, most of the Caribbean countries, Hispaniola, et cetera, in the U.S. You know, we have similar problems, you know, and if you look at it, we have to find a way to have a conversation and meaningful conversation where we could understand, hey, that we're all in this together and we're going to have to work together in order for us to solve this problem. Because this problem is not going nowhere, no time soon, mm-hmm. unless we find a solution that benefits all of us. Mm-hmm. So, Dobie, mm-hmm. tell us what you're, at least for those who are listening now and don't actually know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Scrooge.
It's so much. And it's a pleasure, and hold on, it's a pleasure at short notice for you to take the time out to actually be available. So I want to say thank you for taking the time out.
No, I'm, you know, I just want to say good evening to the Bahamas. Good evening to the listening audience. I know that we're now streaming online worldwide, and so you may have persons in other jurisdictions tuning in tonight. So good evening to each and every one of you. Scrooge, I want to say thank you for the invitation. Of course, like you said, you know, a fellow activist, a fellow Bahamian that is very passionate about people. You know, that's what it's about, you know, people. And at the end of the day, you know, you having your particular background and coming from where you're from, you know, in the inner city, and some call it the ghetto and E Street, Hay Street, all of that area, you, you know, having lived certain things and having gone through certain experiences, you realize that, guess what, you know what, I need to put myself in a position to avoid other generations going through what I had to go through. So yes. You're putting yourself out there and yes. sacrificing and taking the blues and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears just to ensure that, you know, you pave or carve a pathway for the next generation so that they don't have to repeat what Scrooge had to go through. Yes. And truth be told, that's my life story yes. also. It's yes. not about trying to fight for Haitians to come to the Bahamas. No, mm-hmm. You know, as a Bahamian,
right.
of Haitian descent, I've endured a particular experience
yes.
that I don't necessarily want, you know, other generations of Bahamians of some foreign background to have to go through. That's it.
Yes.
That is. And when you put it like that, I honestly don't see any difference between yourself and myself. No, I don't see any difference between Aaron Green. I don't see any difference between Levin Miller, between Juan McCartney, between, you know, Dwight Strawn. We're all in this together because yes. we're trying to build, firstly, you know, a better Bahamas, a better Caribbean, a better region, and a better world. Yes. You know, wow. So Luby Georges, you know, unapologetically, you know, would always let anyone know anywhere that I'm a proud Bahamian. But of Haitian descent. Both of my parents are Haitians. Like many other successful Bahamians, Bahamians that, you know, rose to the highest ranks of the police force, the defense force, you know, in the private sector and otherwise.
And government.
You know, we just had Frankie Campbell the yes. other day. I'm pretty sure if you look into the New Day administration, you can find some persons yes, that yes. has some foreign background. Let's just not look at the Haitian yes. side of it. We do have persons with some foreign background. So, but at the end of the day, it comes down to your love for this country, the passion that you have, and your willingness, you know, to go out there and try to see if you can carve out a niche and you can find one of the problems, one of the many problems that we yes. have in this country, and say, you know what, I'm going to give up myself to work on this one.
Yes.
And that's what it is for me.
Yes.
And so
that's your activism.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, felt, yeah.
Yes, go you ahead, know, sorry.
And I'm not going to try to jump in somebody else's realm, somebody else's lean, and say, you know what, man, I want to fight for police rights too. I mean, I empathize with whatever issues they may be having, but I've never been a police officer.
Yes.
You know, there are other persons that are equipped. There are other persons that are in a better position to fight for the police rights.
Activists in that field.
Exactly. Yes. There are persons that are better
like
positioned.
Like Ms. Dixon.
Thank you very much. There are persons that are better positioned, you know, like to fight for the teachers. There are persons that are better positioned to fight for
Melinda Wilson.
Melinda Wilson to fight. I can't go and toe-to-toe with any minister or director of education on issues facing teachers. I don't know what they're facing. Right. You know, I may have a conversation with one and they may say, hey, you know, X, Y, or Z, but doesn't mean that I understand fully, and that doesn't mean that I'm now in a position to go, you know, head on with the government or with the powers to be to fight for their rights and fight for these issues to be changed. But I do have a particular experience in the Bahamas, and my experience is a shared experience. It is an experience, you know, that, you know, scores of thousands of persons have faced. It is an experience that, you know, thousands of persons continue to face. And, you know, we're just trying to see how best that we can change some of the negative parts of the experience, because the migrant experience in the Bahamas is not 100% bad. It's not 100% negative. I don't want anyone to think that. But however, the bad, the negative, the issues that, you know, we think are issues that are holding back, you know, the Bahamas, you know, let us try to deal with those. And I think that, you know, having experienced a lot of those and continuing to understand the dynamics on both sides, I think that, you know, it drives me to lend myself to see that if we can build a better Bahamas. And
you know, brother, you was called for what you're doing. Let me just first of all tell you that. Regardless of what we're saying, you know, I live an experience, you know. I'm 47 years of age. I went to school with disadvantaged persons, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we must remember right now, the minister, let me get his name. Let me get the information, sorry, before I speak. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
The Minister of Public Service and Foreign Affairs, the Honorable Fred Mitchell.
Yep.
He is stating now that 40% of Bahamians are living below the poverty line. Now, listen, this is a statistic done by the government. But listen, this is still falls short, because even though you're saying 47%, it's way more than 47%, because you can't count everyone in the country, you know? And he also stated that this is of a population of 400,000. I can tell you this now, there's more Bahamians than 400,000, okay? You can never round off to 400,000, mm-hmm. okay? Can never round off to 400,000, because we have not gone and count everyone in the country, and that is impossible to do. So that's just an estimate, okay? I'm just saying that.
Right.
So if we look at that, marginalized people. I grew up in Grandstand, and in there we have persons who are with that background, but they are Bahamians, right? Okay. They're not going nowhere. We could row and say what we want, say all day, right? They're not going nowhere. And you know something, if we look at the countries today, you can't tell the difference, because we are all family, you know, when we live in these communities, because we grow up together. We're going to tie this in the show and show you how it's important to have this conversation. Okay, Luby, you're an activist, and what you're doing, you were called to do that, you know, my brother. You got to have a voice, because this is a problem that is affecting us today, okay, and it's continued to affect us today. Tell us something. Tell us, what is happening in Haiti right now? A president just got assassinated a few months ago. And then this new interim, I think president just nearly got assassinated too after that. Could you tell us, like, exactly from your experience? You traveled there a few times. I saw you on Facebook. You traveled there. Tell us what's going on from a bird's eye view, what's going on in the country, and why presidents want to leave the country to come to different parts of the world, because it's not just here in the Bahamas. People are trying to get to Israel. I've seen Israel. People are spreading out all over.
I'm glad you bring up that point.
Why is that?
No, I'm glad you bring up that point. Maybe one day we can begin to, you know, highlight. And you know, it's not a matter of highlighting. You know, I think people know that migration is not unique to the Bahamas. Uh-huh. You know, we all, as human beings, we have that innate passion. We have that innate desire. we have that innate instinct to survive. You know, it is the same reason why you, Scrooge, you have your kids while living in the inner city and you don't necessarily dream about sending your child to H.O. Nash or C.R. Walker or L.W. Young or D.W. Davis. You know, you're thinking about, you know what, I need to work hard. I need to send my child to QC. Yes. I need to send him to King's right. Way. I need to send him to SAC.
You're right.
Because we associate these schools with the better chance of success.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it is no difference with the migrants running from Greece to go to somewhere else in Europe, the migrants running from Myanmar to go to somewhere else, you know, the migrant camps that we have in Sri Lanka, which is one of the biggest in the world. You know, the persons that are moving across borders. I think you watch the news enough, yes, and you see the issue with the tensions between Ukraine and Russia.
Yes,
you know, is building right now, and the U.S. troops and NATO troops are being prepositioned in places like Poland, not because they want to fight Russia, not because they're probably gonna fight Russia on behalf of Ukraine. You know. They are actually preparing for the possible movement
migrants,
of people.
Yes, yes, fleeing.
Exactly. That's why they're there. So the movement of people, you know, it is a natural thing. You know, we just had internal migration happen in this country with Bahamians.
Everyone going to Canada. I was going to ask you.
No, I'm talking about, hold on one second. Ahead. That's a good point, but I'm talking about the internal migration based on the internal displacement that we recently had here in the Bahamas as a result of Hurricane Dorian.
Yes.
You had not just whomever were living in the mud and the peas having to migrate. You had white Bahamians, black Bahamians, and whomever else was living in Abaco having to go to Eleuthera, and come to Nassau, and some jumping on some ships or planes and going to the United States, persons in, you know, the parts of Grand Bahama that was struck by Hurricane Dorian, moving from one part of Grand Bahama to another part of Grand Bahama, moving from Grand Bahama completely going to the States or coming to Nassau or going to some other family island and living with another family member or other family members. You know, that's migration also.
Yes.
All right. That's migration, human movement. You know, you moving from your, you know, stable or stationary or your ordinary place of residence, having to move from that is migration. Now, it is a myriad of reasons or push factors. And when we talk about push, there's two things in migration. There's the push and there's the pull factor. Something pushes you from where you were or where you're at. And it pushes you in a direction. And where you choose to go is because something is pulling you to that direction. If you think about it, okay, why aren't more Haitians, let's say, deciding to leave the Bahamas and go to Jamaica? Mind you, there's droves of Haitians in Jamaica. But why are they coming to the Bahamas as opposed to that? Why are you trying to go to the United States as opposed to Venezuela, maybe? You know, it's a country too, eh? Why are Bahamians, and you just mentioned it earlier, and I want to touch on that. Why are we as Bahamians, when we sit down and say, you know what, I need a better chance at life, let me leave the Bahamas, we're either going to Canada. We're going to the United States. Yeah. Why are we not going to Mexico? Why are we not going to Peru? You know, why are we not going to Brazil? Why are we not saying, you know, let me go to another Caribbean country and go to Trinidad? It's because you, in your mind, say, guess what? If I get to the United States or Canada, I have a better chance at surviving or becoming a success in my life.
Wow, that's amazing. And also, you made a good point when you said that in the Bahamas, we have persons of Haitian descent who are very successful in being our Bahamians now, natural-born Bahamians, after generation to generation, after getting citizenship. Okay? So you have almost doctors and lawyers. So sometimes people, like you say, there's a connection. This is the connection. We have so many Bahamians who have family abroad, whether it's Haiti or Jamaica or the United States of America. So there's a connection. So most people, most nationals who are coming to the Bahamas, we call them illegal immigrants who are coming to the Bahamas, right? They have probably family members here. They're getting good reports about the Bahamas. They probably...
And that's the truth about it.
Yes, they get treated, you know, fairly because...
You know, truth be told, I'll tell you this. I've seen myself. Mm-hmm. I've done it myself. I've witnessed this on numerous occasions. Because you have persons on one end of the, you know, there's two ends of the spectrum where you have the migrants and you have, of course, the citizens of the Bahamas, right? And you would find where, I've seen it in many groups or, you know, persons who are, you know, loud and outspoken or just willing to lend their voice to the fight and are concerned about illegal migration,
right?
Who would say, well, why don't you guys just tell them, don't come, stop coming? Listen, I could guarantee you if a migrant that is here already who made it by chance, whether they're documented or not, that ain't for me to discuss right now. If they can have maybe $10 for every time they've tried to discourage someone from taking an illegal voyage or becoming or jumping on one of those human smuggling trips to come to the Bahamas, they would probably be rich. Because truth be told, they try to discourage those persons over there. But the response on that end is, well, if it was that bad, then you would probably come back home. You see what I'm saying? So, for example, Scrooge. You went over to Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. You thought Mexico was the place to be. You made it there safely. You're undocumented there. You're struggling. You ain't doing the best. But you still feel like there's some hope in Mexico or whatever, so you're trying to maneuver your way through, right? And I'm your cousin, and now I want to come over to Mexico.
Yeah, that's not...
Hey, Scrooge, I think I'm coming over. You'd be like, boy, by Luby, I ain't gonna lie, but yeah, what we thought it was, bro. If I was you, I wouldn't even take that chance right now, or that little something that you have, I wouldn't even waste that right now to come over.
Because we're at 40%. Of Bahamians are living in poverty. This could be one of the reasons now. And also, with Bahamians now who are legally migrating to Canada. Every day I listen, Bahamians leaving Canada. So it has to be something right now where people want a better life. They're feeling right now like the Bahamas is not the place to be unless we make it the place to be. I think many persons now are really underpaid. We are not seeing people making $70,000 and $80,000, $150,000 to $200,000 unless you are with a government or you get a government contract. Mm-hmm. Nurses and doctors making less than $20,000 a year. This is crazy. That's why so many people are taking their skills, graduating from the University of the Bahamas and going abroad. You know, this is one of the reasons now, like Luby is saying now, he would. Many people say the grass ain't so greener. See, the grass ain't so greener now in the country, you know. You know?
They I'm telling you, like, some people find it hard to believe, and they'll be like, oh, Luby, why you don't tell them stop coming? Why you don't tell them stop coming? I'll be like, hold on. If you want me, right? Think about this, Scrooge. Just make that, you know, let's just think about this for 1 second.
All right.
If you're going to talk to a Haitian or you're going to speak to Haitians, you're going to do it in English or in Creole?
Probably Creole.
Probably Creole, right?
Right.
So why are you accusing me of not trying to speak sense to them when if I'm going to speak sense to them, it's most likely going to require me to do so in their language, but you don't speak their language. So you wouldn't even know if I'm telling them not to come or not. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but back to the point though. Haiti, bro, for decades, it's not gotten its fair shake. And a lot of persons that, you know, think about or talk about Haiti mm-hmm. often do not take their time
to do the history.
To do the history and to do the necessary research. Imperialism is a real thing, my brother.
Yeah, they railroad Haiti.
It's a real thing. All right? Yeah, you have world superpowers that continue to press down
France,
on Haiti, the United States, Canada. But for the life of me, I still don't understand why. But maybe there's some logical reason. It's never been posted. No one has ever spoken about it. But I don't know why the fourth largest or the fourth or fifth largest
U.S. embassy in the entire globe, the entire world, is in Haiti.
Well, I could give you an explanation. During the hurricane, I mean, during the earthquake, they find gold, silver, and there's a precious metal, something like aragonite.
I know.
Not aragonite. It's like titanium.
Yeah.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
And it's in only two places it land. It land in Haiti and it land in one African country, like the Black Panther, that same material in the Black Panther movie, what mm-hmm. they're talking about. It's similar to that. And they use that to build all their material of their warplanes, their submarines, and et cetera.
Yeah.
But the main reason is because after the fight where the French was defeated, they put a tax on Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Haiti just recognize their independence.
Recognize them, and they put it on them in a sum of close to a couple $1 million.
Okay. What we often say that the GDP of the Bahamas, like what it takes to run us, what we're worth, mm-hmm. what we're making, however you want to put it. It's somewhere around, $9-10 billion, somewhere thereabout?
Yes, to get your independence.
Somewhere thereabout. But no, I'm talking about the Bahamas. Now, as the third
richest in the Caribbean.
In the hemisphere.
Yeah, Caribbean.
United States, Canada, Bahamas. But, you know, some parts of Mexico may have, you know, some argument over that. But anyway, $9-10 billion. I stand to be corrected on the exact figures or the range itself. Mm-hmm. Imagine Haiti having to give what some estimate to be the equivalent of $21 billion. How do you recover from that?
Yes, just to have your independence and your freedom.
And then after you give them $21 billion, which they didn't give them right out back, you know.
Yeah, hi, they were,
it was a payment plan.
Yes.
So since 1804 up to 1940 something or so, Haiti was still paying that.
They just paid off the other day.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, but 2 years or 3 years ago, they just finished the payment.
So imagine you started from 1804 paying this $21 billion bill. And then
your money value dropped.
And then you had these countries, superpowers, deciding to meet up and say that, guess what? We're going to block Haiti.
Yes.
Because you remember now, the world was, you know, spread out and split up.
Yes.
You know, Spain had their colonies.
Yes.
England had their colonies. France had theirs. Portugal had theirs. Whomever else had theirs.
And
they decided that each one of our little islands, each one of our colonies, we're not going to allow any of them to play with Haiti. So you give up all of the money that you had, and then now you're isolated. No one is... You remember, Haiti used to be the richest colony in the world.
In the world.
Right? So a lot of... a great portion of France's economy was based off of the natural resources
the
and
cane,
what they were, the cane and all that stuff.
And
the material they're using to make perfumes and colognes and all of these things,
all
right?
I know.
Imagine Haiti was fueling your economy and you were the top dog in the world.
Yes.
France was the top dog for a while in the world. It wasn't the United States. It wasn't Spain.
No.
It was France. But France's money was coming from Haiti, right next door.
Yes.
Right? And then all of a sudden, Haiti becomes
independent.
This little poor thing that isn't worth anything. No, it's because nobody chooses to play with Haiti. Haiti still has the ability to grow the cane, the ability to grow all of these other things that, you know, made France what France became during that day of time. But, you know, we went about our colonies in the Bahamas, in the Caribbean, you know, Latin America and some other places, and we demonized. And so the colonizers, the white man, the French, the Spanish, the English, they went out there and they ensured that, guess what? The black colonies that they had, the black slaves that they had, you need to understand that them black boys that are on that island, don't mix with them. They're demons. See, we don't see ourselves.
No, we don't see
ourselves. When we look at the Haitian, even though we look alike, we don't see ourselves for some reason.
Yeah.
We're here thinking that we're different.
Let me give you a good example. What he's talking about, right? You need to watch and understand. If you watch the cartoon Black Panther, you'll hear about the European nation, Portugal, Belgium, England, and all these other countries. These would split up Africa. They didn't just do the Haiti. They also split up Africa. And each one of them took a piece of Africa. You know, and even here in the country that we call the Bahamas, listen, B-A-H-A-M-A-S, right? Then you look at Jamaica, right? Look at the names spelled. These names that we are now hearing, Haiti, all of these names were given to us from the European nations. Okay? Antigua, Jamaica, all of these countries, you see, all of them were given this name from the Europeans, and we were all colonized, yeah. And that's what we don't really realize, you know. So this is powerful. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. Good night, everyone on Facebook.
Good night, brother. How y'all doing?
Oh, great, we're good.
Yeah. Long time listener, first time caller.
Go ahead,
I just wanted to make a point. I mean, the brother is right, basically, that Haiti did contribute a lot to the establishment of France as a world power. But just remember that France did have vast territories in Africa, which also contributed mightily to them becoming a world empire at that
time. I agree.
Yes. Just like to make their contribution.
No, I agree, bro. Yes. I agree. I would never take anything away from the contributions that anyone, nation has made. You know, I just wanted to drive home the point that, you know, we now look at, you know, Haiti and not you maybe, but some out there, you know, just when they think Haiti, automatically just think poverty. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
But it was actually a rich country.
You understand? And we don't necessarily think about what.
That's not the case at all.
No, Haiti, I'm not talking about you. I said some out there.
Haiti was the richest colony in the West and in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man,
and contributed a lot to development of the whole Western civilization, whether we want to admit that or not. Because they were the only free people from 1804 when all of the other people in this colony were still slaves.
Yep. Yes.
So they contributed mightily.
Yeah, the United States had it not been for that revolution, probably the United States would not be the size of what it is today. You know, we know about the Louisiana Purchase and, you know, when that came about and how that came about.
And the founder of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. DuPont.
Yes. Next caller.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good night, sir. How are you doing?
Me too. I underline, you know, the history of Haiti. You know, Haiti has, I believe, the greatest history in this hemisphere. And I believe because of that, I think that's why the white nations, in order for them to keep white supremacists upheld, right, they couldn't have allowed a black nation to show themselves to be so powerful as Haiti was. You know, because for a nation of Haiti magnitude to be able to defeat nations like the French and even America back in those days, right, you know, that sent a message to the white world because, hey, if we allow these guys to show themselves as powerful, then what message that will send to a nation as what is greater than Haiti, like Africa,
right?
What has even more right? So,
of course.
But Haiti just led the way. Mm. You know, I mean, in this part of the world, when it comes to, you know, showing what a black, powerful nation could look like.
Right.
And you are right, Luby. They, you know, but all that is a part of the white supremacists.
Yeah,
and that is to keep the Negro race from ever knowing themselves.
That's what it is, you know. Right? What caller, you know, I thank you. And what they did, you know, like to your point.
Go ahead.
Sorry, if you're going on. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, just before I go, I can hang up so I can listen to what you have to say. And I just wanted to live and say, you know, what we need to keep telling ourselves and our brothers around the Caribbean is that, you know, the indoctrination to believe that you are Haitian or I'm a Bahamian or you are Jamaican is why it's one of the major separation between us.
Yes,
because during the slave trade, there was no Haitians on the boat.
No.
There were no Bahamians on the boat.
That's damn
there were no Jamaicans on the boat. We became these things. So, in fact, they made us these things, like you guys indicated. They made us these things when we arrived, where we arrived. You guys have a nice night.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much for your call, man.
And see, the reason why I wanted to have this conversation, because I knew. Because, like I said, I said, well, how we get named the Bahamas? How we get named Jamaica? How we get named Trinidad and Tobago? How we get the name Africa? And when I get to realize it was the Europeans who split up all this, and then they didn't want us to become as one again. So they split us up and put us in Jamaica. If we're two brothers, they put us in Jamaica and they leave one in Haiti.
Man, you that's not even just talking about the Caribbean, but you read your history about that big meeting that they had in Europe. Where they pull out the map of Africa and King Leopold and all of those, and they start to split up. Okay, you can get this, you can get that, you can get this. And then everyone went into their part of Africa and started to do whatever they want to do.
And that's how we get split up.
This whole separation thing is their story. It's their push.
Yes.
You know, but what they've done is a great job of getting us to buy into it.
We hate Jamaicans. We hate Haitians. Bahamians hate Jamaicans. Jamaicans hate Bahamians. Bahamians hate Haitians. But it ain't supposed to. So we're all brothers and sisters. Come from the same flock. And just was, you know. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Caller, you're on. I want to say thanks to Moko Mark Fee. He's watching Felix Knowles. Jam Cut. Roberta Newball. Ian Thomas. And I see Georgina. You say Cecil Moss. Keep it up, brother. Yeah. We have to take a break here. So we just having a conversation. Then we're going to talk about the illegal smuggling, see if we can get a good understanding from Luby George, you know, the desperation on why. We get the why, but we just want to figure out if they're doing it for the money or they're doing it because they want to bring some of their family and friends across to a better place. So hold the calls until we come after the break, please.
Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Hey, I'm Tate.
And I'm Don.
We talk about current events, issues of national importance, and basically anything interesting.
Me, like who born in the 60s, right? But from my ear, the people talk and they sound like us. They used to be Bahamian.
And you're suggesting that if you don't have family rooted in a family island, then you're not really Bahamian.
Still your weekly dose of something different.
Right. And basically, every 5 years, we sell a different dream. We're 5 years away from a better country.
The Eye Opener, Saturdays at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., only on Guardian Radio 96.9. Talking about a revolution. Now, this is not a
game. A bold new era calls for a new mindset, fresh ideas, and a renewed commitment to innovation. Join us for University Drive and the Path to Progress. Enter the conversations about higher learning. Follow the shapers and drivers of change. We're shining a light on matters that impact you, your community, and the world. Travel the road of progress with us. University Drive, a University of the Bahamas talk show airing on Saturdays at 11 a.m. right here on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. Join us.
T
Tune into Candid, where we have real talks with real people. With your hosts, Anise Bell and Shanae Forbes, we present real issues within the country for the youth and by the youth. We talk about anything from politics, relationships, the economy, and so much more. Don't forget to tune in weekly on Guardian 96.9. See you soon and keep it real, Bahamas.
Tune in to Candid, Saturdays at noon, here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Good night, and we're back on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, aka Scoochie or Scrooge. In studios, we have activist Louis George in studios, and we have Felix Noah say, Louis, what you drinking in that cup? And he say, what's good? What's good? Louis say, coffee. I want to say good night to all my Facebook friends for tuning in to the show. We just want to give you a little bit of history about Jamaica, about the Bahamas, Trinidad and Tobago. All these names was given to us by Europeans, okay, in case you know. All right? Just want you to know that. All right? And we're going to talk for it all. We're going to take one of these calls, and then we're going to talk about, Luby wants to explain the difference between human smuggling and human trafficking, right? Okay, mm-hmm. So we get a good understanding about that. So, okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Mr. Brown, how you doing?
Good night, how you doing?
Good night to you, yeah.
Good night to you.
Just, you know, what time I like be disturbing at times. I can engage you, so I wouldn't go too far. So sometimes people take what you say out of context.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Like, but when I say something, I ask you a question.
Mm. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, when the black nations, right, like we came out of slavery, I think we're supposed to be the perfect example of not putting people back in slavery because we want slaves. What do you think?
I agree with that. Yes, sir.
Okay, let me say this again. So when we were bought out of slavery, you wouldn't think it would be fair for us, right, not to even hold a white man as a slave?
I agree to that also.
Okay, so to say that, the reason why I said it is this. Normally persons will protest, right? When a white man kill a black man, they'll protest and they'll say, oh, the white man killed a black man. But then, if a black man killed a million white people, the black people wouldn't even come out and say that was not fair. You agree or you disagree?
Well, that one is hypocrisy, you know? I mean, you know, me personally, as a humanist, someone that believes in human beings, I would never support something of the sort. Mind you, we do see it happen on both sides, white and black, you know, but again, you know, when you find some black persons who try to fight, you know, white supremacy, who try to fight, you know, racism, you know, you do get that backlash sometimes of, you know, well, why are you guys being racist? Well, you know, black people, we can't be racist. Like, why are you throwing that at us? You know,
So let me ask another question. The fact is, okay then, you don't see that rise. Let's put one country. Let me put a stamp on one country. Let's speak about the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bahamas, you don't hardly see people protesting about the murders, the rapes, and the robberies that goes on, and the abuse that goes on with black persons, even with living wages and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of like sick and tired. Not in this country. I won't speak for other countries because you know the race card is real. And you can't, like, try to downplay that as if that's not real around the world.
No,
I understand that. But I'm speaking from the Bahamas now, not the other countries, because I realize the seriousness of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to speak to that. But in the Bahamas, you will have people living with low wages, even whether it's foreigners or migrants that migrate to the Bahamas. They live on a low wage, and then nobody, like, really fight to see whether or not these wages should be equal to the standard of the persons who live here rather than having persons coming for slave labor. I believe that if they address it from a salary standpoint, you'll have a better outcome of having persons not work as slaves across the board. What do you think?
I don't necessarily agree because I get your point, but I still don't agree. And I don't agree because as low as minimum wage is today, compared to, you know, the high cost of living in the Bahamas, where we are ranked somewhat fifth, sixth in the entire world, and that is just
crazy, in my opinion. You know,
most expensive place to live.
Yeah, in the world.
Yeah,
like five, six, some,
five, six, yeah,
somewhere there. We probably top 10. I don't know where, but
you know, you were right. You're right. We five,
yeah, somewhere
six.
In there. All right, you know, with minimum wage being what it is, and us ranking where we're ranking in, you know, expensive places to live in the world, we still find the time, you know, to undercut the most vulnerable or migrants or foreigners amongst us because they are beholden to us. You know, you need and you have to have a Bahamian to sign the work permit,
yes,
for you,
yes,
or a permanent,
yes,
resident. Say other than that, then you can't be here. You see what I'm saying?
So any jobs, any jobs.
Anything.
Any
it doesn't matter. The work permit. It has to be a Bahamian or a yes, permanent resident holder. So to your point, caller, you know, we do have those slave-driving-minded persons out there, not just Bahamians, because, like I said, again, you know, persons with permanent residency, I think they can also sign work permits for persons because they can own businesses and land and home and all of that stuff. You know, so while minimum wage is so low, we still see people being paid for a full week of work, 40 hours or more, $150,
right,
$160.
Right. I've seen it.
So where, yeah, we took a minimum wage up to $300, up to $400, and we fought that wages scale that you're talking about, you still have the issue of those persons who are going to, due to the Haitian, due to the Jamaican, due to the Cuban, due to the Dominican, what they
to
want
the
to do. But when the migrant now, or someone else that tries to stand up on behalf of the migrants, say, you know what? Man, you can't be treating them like you need to pay them. Well, you shouldn't be in the first place. You should be glad we let you be here. Why are you here? Why you don't go to your own country and run on and cry and this thing and the next? And, you know, that's the unfortunate part side of the conversation.
Yeah, and Bahamians are underpaid also.
Oh, Bahamians are grossly underpaid, so I get his point, you know.
Yeah.
And I would love to see, and I would join that battle, to see minimum wage rise and to see Bahamians paid more. But I don't think, though, that it would solve the issue of the lack of a better term,
like
you know, that slavery type of mindset where we're abusing, you know, foreigners that are living in this country and, you know, they're working 7 days per week and then we're paying them what we want to pay them. I don't think it solves
and
that.
And they work good.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it solves
across
that.
Across the country, if you look around, you would see they work good.
Yeah, no, I support Bahamians being paid more. Like, yeah. I want Bahamians to be paid more, but I don't think it solves those are the people being paid less.
The government, the Bahamas, as we're talking now, is looking to increase minimum wage. I heard it on the Guardian Radio.
I support that.
Talk show. Guardian Radio News before I came on the show, and they're looking to increase the minimum wage. You know, I think it's 210 now, or what is it?
Yeah, somewhere at 210.
210. No, man, we got to start talking anywhere from 500.
You know what it is, Shoppy?
Yeah, man. All right, watch this. We are the richest Caribbean country, and Graham always state that we're not in the Caribbean, okay? But anyway, they get
we
us in the
Caribbean,
right? So we're the richest, right? But we're the most sixth or the most fifth expensive place to live in the world. We have 48% of the Bahamian people living under poverty, or a percentage
That's
of 400,000 people
That's
in
crazy.
This country, right? Now listen to this.
You know what kind of burden that is
100,
on everybody else?
100 plus murders per year. Besides the last 2 years,
That's
because,
crazy.
Right, you know, between COVID-19, right, we have no hospital beds around the pandemic, right? We had our streets are terrible with the potholes, okay? We have high unemployment. We're talking, you know, they're saying 47%, right? And that's actually Dr. Season Newry said that's 100, he said, I think it was 188,000 persons are living under the poverty line. And we could say we could add additional 80 to 90 to 100,000 persons who are living below the poverty line. So if we look at the statistic of 47%, we could say it's actually 52 or 53%. We even could be 55% living under the poverty line. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot, and that includes all the persons living in the country, whether you are legal or legal. It doesn't matter because this year is a problem that's not going nowhere. Problem. This problem is not going.
Or undocumented,
right?
Not legal or illegal.
All right, oh, my brother, my brother.
Yeah, let's fix that.
Yes, we can take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Brother David, this is Doc in the West. Along with you, brothers.
I'm fine. What do you say?
We need justice, law, and order in this country. As Scooch, you know, you made some interesting points. and you were right. But I'm going to say something. In the 1600 and the 1700, if you do the research,
yes, sir,
you would find that everybody here, that were here, was not slaves.
Yeah, I agree.
When the slave trade came, they meet black people, free black
yes,
people here.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Other thing is, right, so much poverty is happening because people that's in authority, they want to control us.
Mm-hmm.
So they're keeping us to that level so they can control. That's the other problem. And the other thing is why plenty people are not standing up. You know, before I say that, I had a friend, he used to be the bodyguard for the Queen. And me and him was talking one day. He came here to live. He came here for several to do a job in Life with Key, right?
Yes, sir.
And he ended up staying here. And me and him became friends, right? And we were talking about the situation here. And something I said to him, and you know what he said to me? He said, we got the guns. In other words, because they have the gun, they have the control.
Mm.
And other thing is, right, a lot of us black people, we are emasculated, you know? We don't know how to stand up. My last point is, right, they have the guns, but the black people, what came out of slavery that are here, are their ancestors, you know, they used to use spears. You understand?
Yes.
I mean, that ain't happening nowadays. And that's the problem we have.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Good. Yeah, Cecil Morse. Hence, every 10th of July.
Charlie.
You know, the Constitutional Article 71 clearly states that the executive authority of 242 is vested slowly in Her Majesty's Fox. So if the word independence is defined as free from outside control of authority, hence it's 242 an independent country with local government ministers who have to swear allegiance to Her Majesty's or else their election is null void, even though the people voted for him. Bottom line, it is what it is. In the words of Bob Marley, tell the children the truth. Charlie Moss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy.
No, it is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
So what we're trying to say, right, you know, it's a problem in our country and we're going to have to address it, you know. And the 47% we're talking about is way more than that. And the problem is not going nowhere no time soon. We have to find ways on how we can build industries in this country right now, you know. There are no millionaires in these communities, you know. Whether you want to call it what it is or illegal or illegal or whatever the situation or whatever, this problem is not going nowhere soon, all right? We have to find ways on how we're going to make some millionaires, thousandaires, and hundredaires in these communities, you know. Mm-hmm. FARC remains, if you go back to the Pinland administration, Sir Lyndon was able to make many Bahamian who are today successful in this country. You know, under his administration, we're talking like Sir Frankie Wilson, you know, late Bradley Roberts, you know, even assisted Perry Gladstone, Christie's former prime minister, put them in a prestige position for them to become successful and be millionaires. Today, these gentlemen are founding fathers of the Progressive Liberal Party, and they get incentives, and they become stronger and stronger, and they breed the next generation of politicians, you know, in the country. So we need to do the same thing with inner city communities. We have to be fine with how we're going to make millionaires, thousandaires, and hundredaires in these communities, you know, regardless of our what we call nationality. Because if you look at the whole situation, you know, Jamaica, Haiti, Trinidad and Tobago, all us came from Africa. And the caller made, Raymond made an excellent point. Listen, even when Christopher Columbus came here to the New World, right, he met people here. So Raymond is telling the truth. Not everyone came on the ship. There are still free people living here who are hiding in the bushes. Seminole Indians during the Seminole War fled from Florida to the Bahamas, you know, and they're still there today. So, and they were being living free. and they run from bondage from Florida. So you can't catch everyone, you know. It's not impossible. There's no country in the world that can annihilate a whole nation, you know. Can't. Some people's going to migrate, like Ruby George said. If there's problems, they're going to migrate, you know. Look at Pompeii. Look at Pompeii with God burning down with a volcano. They show the footprints where some people made it to shore and got away, even though Pompeii was destroyed, right?
We migrate. Right. We may not migrate on the scale of, because our issues are not on the scale of other countries. And you know, the perfect example is, you know, our neighbors next door, Haiti.
Yes.
But we migrate. You know, how many Bahamians you know has an American child, baby?
A lot.
Gone to the States. 4 or 5 months pregnant, yeah, can't show up in my
house. And they can become American.
I come right back.
And they can be American.
You go 4 months, 5 months. We ain't ever see you come back till that baby drop. You in Jackson and Miami. You
and the baby's American now.
The baby's American. Why you do that?
Yeah, you're right.
Why you do that? You knew what exactly why you wanted
many
to
babies,
have that American
many
baby.
Many doing that was leaving here and go up the baby in the hospital. Stay but over there 3 months, 4 or 6, and then become
and
American
citizen. Some people come and they look, well, but they had a visa or they had a police record or we have that agreement, so they went legally. Cool, you went legally though. But you lied to the federal government because on that declaration form or during the questioning part with U.S. border and whatever they call the border protection people at our airport at Lyndon Pindling International Airport, when they said, why are you going? Hmm. You said, well, I can't go shop. I can't go shop. Yeah, you can't go shop for you and the baby that you're about to have in our country.
Yeah.
That's migration.
Yes.
You did it for a reason. I understand and I ain't knocking you. Am I saying it's okay? No, it's not okay. You know why? Because we have to adhere to and respect rules
and laws.
And laws. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I don't say that it's okay for the Haitian to jump on the boat and come to the Bahamas. No, it's not okay.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But guess what?
If
you ask me if I understand why they're doing it, I can tell you, yeah, I do understand why they're doing it. If I understand why the Bahamian is going to Canada, yes, I do.
Yes.
Do I understand why the Bahamian goes to the United States, goes to school, college, graduates, and decides never to come back? Mind you, they're legal. Because they had their student visa, yada, yada. And then after the student visa, they probably find a job and they apply for something else. So they've never been undocumented in the United States. But let's get away from the document part of it. And let's go back to the basics.
Yeah.
Let's look at each other as human beings. What drove you to leave the Bahamas to go to the United States? Success.
Yes.
Opportunity.
Yes.
What do you think is driving the Jamaican to come to the Bahamas? What do you think is driving the Venezuelan to cross the border into Colombia? Mm. Or to what is causing the Guatemalan to leave, you know, Guatemala and to go into Mexico and try to get into the United States? It's the same thing when you boil it down.
Mm.
Now, you know, men and women over time, we've decided to, you know, decide how we want people to cross our borders.
Mm.
And I respect that. So again, I'm not saying
laws and regulations.
Exactly. I will never say that it is okay for a Haitian to jump on a stoop and come to the Bahamas, because it is not okay, because the rules and regulations say it is not.
Right. But the problem is what we don't see, the invisible. Just say they're out to sea, they've been on they land. And our authority was not able to catch them in a certain amount of time. They've been here for 20, 30 years.
Man,
that's what you're talking about.
Man, that boy's in the contributor to the
that's what I'm talking about, Rachel. So that's what you're fighting for. You're saying...
Listen, if you can prove that...
Right, right. Now you understand what I'm saying.
I'm not saying you slap on the wrist, right? But just like, no, but
that's the,
certain,
yes, that's the most
but we do have within our what laws, you know, the statutes of limitation.
Yes.
You know, someone did something to you, 7 years passed or 10 years passed, they tell you the statutes of limitations, that's over, you can't really do nothing but that no
right.
more. Man, 30 years this man done been here.
Right.
And he been working, and he could prove that he been working for
that's what you're saying.
A Bahamian.
That's
he
right.
got his receipts for
that's
maybe his landlord.
For. That's what you're fighting for. That's what you're fighting for. You're not fighting for the set who come on the
no,
boat
man.
And get your catch illegally.
No,
no,
man,
no,
no.
See,
man.
People, I told people they
that's
misunderstood you.
Man. That's a different
they misunderstood you.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what you're fighting for. You're fighting for the set who got away.
Take me out of the mix, right?
All right.
Let's take you.
All right.
Let's take Kermit, your producer out there.
I like you.
I don't know what to
go ahead.
Let's take
go
you
ahead.
As a Bahamian and the caller right there calling. Let's take Kermit.
Call the company right now.
Let's take those who are on this live feed right now. I know you know some Haitians, Scrooge.
I know plenty of Haitians.
I know Kermit knows some Haitians.
I know plenty of Haitians.
And I know there are some Haitians, Kermit, Scrooge, or you, Kermit, that you feel right through Hay Street or wherever you from, you feel you could go to bat for them and you could vouch for them. If somebody says they're going to put this person on the stance at court, Scrooge, come vouch for them. Yeah. Man, you my boy, yeah. listen.
You're right.
Boy, Papi been around from I was a child. Right. Man, let me tell you about this man. He's been a great contributor to this community of Hay Street.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would go to bat for that person.
Yeah. The police officer, call it coming to you right now, just 1 second. The police officer pulled over Pacific. Young gentleman who I know is way hard. The area was hot and they was looking for some guys who were involved in some shooting incident. I was in my house and I saw him getting profiled by the police officers, right? And I came out and I said, officer, that gentleman right there, I know him. Hey, he don't get himself no problem. All right? I say he live right down the road there. He going inside. That bag what he get right there, I can tell you that's his uniform.
Mm-hmm.
If you check the bag. And if you check it, he said, you could vote for him. I said, this is me. He said, what a street school. He said, and you let him go. You're correct.
I didn't even know of your stories or whatever, but I know you can find what they're talking about.
He got scared. I said, yes, he's.
But again, I don't want people to get this mix up. We're not saying that it is.
Not the set who coming to vote.
No, we're not.
You're talking about the set who here got away and the statute of limitation run out.
Man, I don't know if there is a statute of limitation.
Let's take the score. Good point. Go ahead, caller. Sorry about that, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good night, Scoochie.
Yes, guys.
Yeah, good night, Luby.
Good night.
Good point, Luby.
Hey, Scoochie.
Hey.
Boy, it was hard to get on, but listen, you know, I like the point that Brayman raised. It caused me to remember something that even before slavery to the West, right,
mm-hmm.
there were miscegenated blacks
mm-hmm.
in Africa as a result of the Arab invasions, you know, between the Arabs, which would have been a lighter-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there was always reports about light skinned colored Negroes coming on the slave ships, right? But the thing is, we must remember that genocide has two meanings, is ambiguous. Well, I wouldn't say that, but I mean, genocide really means the mass killing of people and also mass enslavement.
Mm.
A lot of people just forget the latter, mass enslavement.
Okay.
So common sense could tell us, right, Luby,
mm-hmm.
that after slavery, right? The eugenicists or the white elites. You, there's numerous books that I've already called on it. I'm trying to save some time here.
I like listening to you when you call the different shows.
I'm saying this, but they have found, after slavery, right, Luby?
Uh-huh.
They found innovative new ways of enslaving us. Discrimination,
yes.
Jim Crow laws, et cetera, like banking laws, the same laws we see in place now, like we can't gamble, we can't own banks, all type of little different laws, because they have already used their monopolistic, ill-gotten wealth
mm-hmm.
to drive global policies. So one of the things I wanted to point out, right, Luby, was the fact that you are right about Haiti's wealth, but it was wealth for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is we must remember the slave farms and the sex farms and the money, the monetization of slavery. That was where their wealth, we talk about the resources, but the human wealth capital. I was redoing some reading the other day on schools when I heard the amount of wealth coming from the sales of slaves, et cetera, and the sex farms, where it was gross, because it was saying like one male slave, they would pick him out, and he would be made to have sex with as much as 80 women within a certain period of time, et cetera, and then they would sell. It's almost like you breeding a dog, and that's what they don't want you to know. I don't have time to play with these people. Let me show you something. And not only that, when you look at I noticed Luby mentioned the fight for the Caribbean, which was really started the Treaty of Tordesillas in 1494, and with Spain and Portugal divided the world in half to a papal bill from the Pope, with an imaginary line 370 leagues west of the Azores Island, dividing the world in half. A west for Spain
mm-hmm.
and the east would have been Portugal. So other European nations, then you know the war subsequently, mm-hmm. right, Luby?
Mm-hmm.
For the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But now Haiti has a very large population for its size. Haiti has about
15 million people right now.
That's 11.4 million.
It's gone up. It's gone up from that. Definitely.
That's the latest statistic.
Anyway, let's just go with that. Even if it's that, it's too much.
It's more than Cuba. So, and let's look at Cuba landmass. And so, when you look at the monetary gain of from slavery, man, it's really high out there. And so, we must remember that they have innovative ways of enslaving us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I and you and Luby, when back in the days when we passing and we meet for little thing, and she's Haitian Beeman, you know what I tell them? I said, I don't speak no language. But I had Haitian American girlfriend, Haitian Beeman girlfriend. We all are fooling ourselves in the diaspora. But me in the inner city, right, Luby?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a fool to tell you if I don't have Haitian Beeman friends. And sometimes I vouch for them just excuse you because the other day they want to tell me a problem with passport.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on, you're going to school, they're reading you. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I was like, it upset me in a sense because he grew up with us way, way, way.
Right.
So it's no difference. But I just wanted to point out something to Luby. The inter-island migration in the Bahamas, we know it's not illegal migration, right? Because it's inter-island. Only
of course.
Water separating us. And then with the states, the only difference is, I'm not saying it's correct for us to go over and have a baby. Well, at least one of my boys just tell me that you can
get it from the hotel.
I said, the problem is they're documented.
Yeah.
So
I said that though.
Yeah.
Homeland Security or whatever could come and track you down.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? But,
right, but Carla, hold on
yeah.
though. They are documented. I totally agree with you. But when they were filling out that declaration form or when they were asked, what is the purpose of your visit or travel to the United States?
They have no reason.
Did they tell the truth?
They wanted you to be an American citizen.
So then that within
deception.
Itself is...
It is deception.
Exactly. So
deception.
That is if should the federal government know or whatever government know or authorities know that, guess what? You're lying to me right now or you lied to me, would that not be a crime? But he left.
Yeah, he left.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
You are committing a crime.
Yeah.
We do commit the crime to get to the United States, notwithstanding the fact that we have the legal passageway to get there. But we cannot say to the border protection people that, hey, I can't cross the very child. No, we cannot say that.
Yes.
So we have to lie to them, which
yeah,
is
you're right.
a crime.
Yes.
So we as Bahamians, we do commit crimes to have our babies in the United
yes.
States. We do.
Yeah.
We do it.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. I see Constance Richardson. So if you want to tune in, you're going to listen to 969 on your radio or on your TV. Okay? 969 Guardian Radio. You have Luby George in studios, activist, and he's making some valid points. And Luby, let's send this message again. You're not advocating for the set who comes on the boat. Yes, you're advocating, you know, it's a dangerous passage and they're losing their lives. But you're advocating for those who are made it through 30, 40 years ago, who been through the statute of limitation has run out. You're fighting for those.
But I don't listen.
They contributed their rotten
eggs. Don't vote me on the statute of limitation thing.
No, I said the statute of limitation.
People are going to start to Google the Criminal Procedure Act
1973.
Check out the Immigration yes. Act and the Constitution and all of these other things. And, of course, you will never find anything up there
yeah,
in there
yeah.
that speaks to some statutes of limitations. Okay?
Okay?
So that doesn't exist.
Yes.
I'm just saying
yeah.
that in a, you know,
you're right,
meritocracy
man.
Type
yeah,
of,
you're right.
You know, society where we put things maybe on a scale, on a balance. Because
yeah.
if we can do it for other crimes, why can't we do it for that one, when in fact maybe an individual may be able to showcase the fact that, hey, I have some kids there. My son is 28, was born here in the Bahamas.
Live all his life.
So if my son is 28, it means I've been here at least 28 years. I can show you receipts from my landlord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can pull super value receipts from, you know,
the police didn't do their job. The immigration department.
I've never done anything while being in the Bahamas, outside of entering illegally. I've never done anything in the Bahamas
yeah.
to breach further laws of the Bahamas. And if we can have statutes of limitations for other stuff, then at some point, you know, 15, 20 years, we should be able to say, you know what? Man, everyone in this community can talk about mommy right here and homeboy right here. And, you know.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Just recently, we had a vote, 39? Yeah, 39 people perished, and three survived. And then you hear their story. You already explained their story. And then they have a guy who there was a smuggler, but one was an Asuvian, one was a Bimini Knight, and they were the ones who was, what do we call that? What we call it? Human smuggling.
They're the smugglers.
They were
arrested on
the boat. They were one of the survivors. I'm just asking this question. Smugglers, do you think they're doing it for the money, or that, or in some case they're doing it because they want to be able to assist their family or friend, or what, what you think?
Mean, again, when people hear human trafficking, they hear human smuggling, we tend to think, and I don't blame the person who's never had to research it, the person who never had to, for whatever reason, like, why do I need to Google it? You know, you're all moving people, you know, so you just think it's the same thing. You're moving people from one place to the next illegally. But human smuggling and human trafficking are two different.
Explain.
Human smuggling, of course, that's like me having a boat and Scrooge wanting to pay me for me to take you from here to Canada on my boat.
Right.
I smuggled you into Canada. I got my money. That's it. I don't know you no more. I don't have to ever interact with you. But human trafficking is totally different. You know, when you're dealing with human trafficking, you know, you're trafficking men, women, children, and you're going to exploit them when they get to their place of destination. So you may have in a country, not the Bahamas, in whatever jurisdiction, you may have someone that, you know, goes into, let's say, some Latin American country, right? And you want to go get some Latin American girls, you know, with the nice long hair and, you know, the booty and and all that stuff, right? Because you're thinking now,
you be back home,
the guys, they're going to be fond of this type of woman. So you go now to this country, you set up this thing with whomever who gets you these people, right? These girls, and you traffic them to your country, I bring them home, and now they have to work for me. You see what I'm saying? So I'm exploiting them for sexual gains. Maybe I want to keep one for myself. I let them know, okay, I go to some country and I know I meet some vulnerable woman in some country that in my sick mind, I think, you know, these are poor people. They're desperate people.
Like they Cuba.
Need, whatever. You know, my sick mind, I think that, you know, I could do something for you. Listen, man, I could bring you to my country. You know, you could live good. But in my head, I looking at this woman as some material, for my
investment,
personal gain.
Investment.
Right. So I'm going to pay to get this person to the Bahamas so then I can have all the sex that I could ever have with this beautiful woman. So then I can take out and show off. Mm. Or maybe I can take to my club or to my bar and have a strip and make money. So I'm exploiting this person. And it doesn't have to only be women. It can be men also. And I'm not just talking about the sexual aspect of it. You can go to some country and bring in a few men to your country and have them work for you on your construction site or work for you on your farm or work for you wherever it may be.
Under the minimum wage.
Right. So you are exploiting them. So that is human trafficking. The difference is with the human smuggling is you take one person from point A to point B and you get some money off of it and that's it. But the human trafficking is that you do it with the sole purpose or intentions of exploiting that person when they get to where they have to get to.
You're going
to gain from that.
I saw the former Minister of National Security, Marvin Daines, was speaking on the matter and said that we are starting to see trend in that human trafficking.
I mean, listen, for the life of me, to tell you the truth, and we've not been real with ourselves.
It's been happening a long time.
But we've been trafficking humans in this country.
You're right.
And, you know, being in some places that I've been over the past few years, right?
Script clubs?
No, I'm talking about on the professional level, right? Where some conversations are being had. And where regionally, they're trying to do some things to combat stuff like human trafficking. Again, human trafficking, you take the person from one country, one destination, you bring them to another, and you exploit that person in your place or wherever they end up. They're being exploited, whether it's for work, whether it's for sexual gains or otherwise, right? I don't think we're that serious about human trafficking in the Bahamas as other places. I don't think so. Because we it's happening here. You know, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus or anything of the sort or whatever. But
that's happening.
Strip clubs are illegal in the Bahamas, but it exists and everybody knows that.
Yes.
Everybody knows where a strip club
is. There are some foreigners in there from far-off countries. When I listen to see who get arrested in the raids and stuff like that, I see people from...
So let's be real.
From all over the world.
So human trafficking is happening.
Venezuela.
But when you have the international organizations, you know, try to engage us and say, you know what?
hey, come on, we need a report on human trafficking in your country. We're like, ooh, us, but we don't do that type of thing.
Because we keep it off the radar.
You understand what I'm saying? But it doesn't, it doesn't benefit.
You're turning a blind
eye
yes,
to it.
Yes, yes, yes.
But
right.
What we don't realize is that these people are being abused.
Yeah, yeah.
They're human beings.
Yeah.
They're being abused.
They're doing something
exploited.
They don't want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Some of them too, they think that, you know what? I leave my Latin American country. Get to the Bahamas, right? This person then swing me and tell me, okay, we're just going to get you here. You can be here for a week. Mm. We can get you on a boat. We can get you to Miami.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, this woman stuck in the Bahamas now. 3 months later, 6 months later, you have in a hotel, you have in the bar, dudes paying you money to have sex with them.
They
ain't got no choice now because guess what? There's a lot of things that these traffickers do. You know, they hold their passports or they do otherwise. Yeah. So these persons are beholden to them. You know, they're at their mercy. You know what I mean? So you thought that when I get to the Bahamas, 1 week later, we jump on a boat, I get to Miami, I start working, I link up with my family, I can help my other family. But next thing, you know, 3 months later, 6 months later, you're still in the Bahamas and you having sex every day for
A case went down, I think, year before last, when an immigration officer during this tour, a foreign national.
It's happened on, we're not going to call his name or speak of the case directly, but it's happened, the individual, I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about, and we're talking about the same person, but this was the second time.
Second time?
Yeah, this person, it was widely known,
where he
took a migrant out of the detention center.
Yes, detention center, hold on against
at
the will.
His house.
Yeah.
And was having sex.
And she took the condom with the thing up. She was smart enough to take the condom with the thing up. or the garbage.
Right. He wasn't fired.
No.
He was placed on some leave.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Administration leave.
Only to be brought back to the Department of Immigration.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening? What, last year or a year and a half? He gone back to his old ways.
So what did he do?
He didn't go back and grab somebody else because he wasn't working.
Why are you laughing, Ruby?
But what he was doing is, at the particular place where he was working, he was able to try to use his advantage, which is, you know, I have access to files.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you applying for certain things. I'm interviewing people. All right, cool. You really want this? You know, I can make sure this get approved, you know.
Mm.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
that's
you're
what
using
it is.
That
that's
power.
What it is.
You see what I'm saying? You're using that power over these foreign women.
Who
you
are
know,
desperate.
They're trying to do the things the right way. So imagine now the rules and regulations
they want
the laws
papers,
of the country say, okay.
And they do anything to get their papers.
Right. Apply the right way. You apply the right way.
Yeah.
But because we know, certain people in certain
something.
Place, there's a blockage.
You got to give me something.
You got to give me something.
You
give
me
something.
Something,
you can get straight.
Yeah.
Guess what? He got recorded.
I like that one right there.
Yeah, he kept messing with this person.
I like that one right there.
Yeah, she recorded him.
Yeah, I like the one there. Yeah.
So now where
if
is
he won this?
You had to be let go again.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But that's him who got caught.
And the back of what you're saying, and if we say illegal immigrants, most of them get
undocumented.
Undocumented. Excuse me again. Undocumented. And when they get their paper sort out, if you look at it, sometimes they have to buy their paperwork from top officials in the country. And that is something that is actually happening. It's being discussed. We saw a lot of people under the former administration got removed or their respective position because of some kind of illegality going on at the Department of Immigration.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, Luby, you just want the people to know that you're fighting for those who have been living in the country, who have been contributing for so many, 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 many years, right? And has not had their due diligence to get the proper paperwork, right? That's what you're fighting for. You're not fighting for those who come on, leave from Haiti, and trying to get to the Bahamas. And, you know, you're not fighting for those. You're fighting for those who
I won't say that I'm not fighting for
No,
them,
I don't know what you mean. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You know, I'm not mean. I know you're fighting for more, so, you know. But you understand that this is the problem. What would you say to, what's your opinion on the smugglers? You said that, you know, they just had to make this money. They're not concerned about nothing else. They're just doing this for the money. So that's a business.
To them, yeah.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
Yeah, no, to them it's all about the money. And, you know, the tragedy, what, 2 weeks ago or so,
yeah,
speaks to their greed, speaks to their lack of
humanity.
Humanity. Yeah. Thank you. It speaks to their lack
without
of
the
humanity.
Proper equipment, no life jackets, no radio.
And then
no
the
nothing.
Size of the boat compared to the amount of people that you're willing to pack on that boat.
Whoa. It's a disaster before it even started.
Before it even started, those persons were doomed. Whether there was bad weather or not, they probably yeah, they would doomed. Have not made it. You know, if you look at the size of the vessel, right?
Yes.
I've heard some stories within my moving around the community. You know, whether people had families, whether they had friends or not. And I, you know of, you know, two persons personally after the fact who died on that. When they saw their pictures, I'm like, what? Oh, my God.
Wow.
He? Him? Like, what? Why? And these are, and the two persons who I know are legal residents of the Bahamas.
Wow.
Persons with permits. They
just want to be able to get out. It's probably hell.
But what we saw is that since the pandemic, like scores and scores and scores of persons that you knew that were living here in this community, that were living in the Bahamas, are no longer here. They left since the pandemic. And the pandemic has been really hard on the Bahamas.
Yeah,
it's been hard on the Bahamas. So imagine it being rough and hard on Bahamians, right?
Yeah.
Now put yourself in a micro shoe.
Because he makes his living off doing side jobs.
Right.
Weeding the yard.
I need the Bahamian to be in a good position for me to be in a good
position.
You
can't wait. You can't. That's not for the. Yeah.
To give me the job.
Yeah.
I need Scrooge.
Yeah,
you
I understand. It goes down.
It trickles down. So we need that trickle down effect.
Yes.
And when it's not trickling down, then people are going to do the next best thing. And I'm like, I got to get out. Yeah.
Yeah. My sponsors who sponsor me for the HK Lewis Street, you know, I'm cleaning up the area. I'm also building my restaurant. And then I get my little sniping and I trickle it down to about four or five different people.
Right.
And that's
right.
How the same thing it's supposed to be. I'm a business
exactly.
owner.
Yeah.
So if they don't have no employment, they can't build no yard. That means I can't.
And they gotta look out on Lewis Street and Hay Street and maybe look into the Grove or look into Carmichael.
Yes.
They gotta move.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's the same concept.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I just want this. I want to say this to all of the persons. We're not yet attacking no race. We're not talking about the when we talk about the European nation. We're just talking about the system was put in place that put us in this position. So when you're seeing the Bahamas and Jamaica, go find out where we get these names from. All right. Find out for yourself. And you would find out all us came from Africa and we get put around in different parts of the Caribbean and the world. We got put in Jamaica, we got put in Haiti, we got put in Trinidad and Tobago, we got put in any of these, even in Hawaii, you know? So we need to understand what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, once we should know this, you know, So just keep an open mind, you know, and we're trying to have a discussion where you could learn some history. And also, Luby, most people who know this, I went to Fort Charlotte out here. That's Fort Charlotte, right? Yeah, right up here.
Yeah,
Fort Charlotte. And there was this lady, you know, she in an African dress and African hat. And I was really intrigued to find out that Toussaint, after he fought the French with the Spanish, right? He got some help from the Spanish, right?
No. They helped some of the countries in Latin America to fight the Spanish after their
war. Yeah, yes, right. So after Toussaint ran the French out of Haiti, the French was making their move to the Bahamas. Toussaint gave chase on the French ships that he captured during the revolution, and he gave chase. He didn't know the Bahamian people here, but he knew that they were black people here. Mm. So he fired his cannon at the French to tell them, you're not going to land in the Bahamas. All right? So he keep on firing his cannon. So that made the French boycott Bahamas and keep on sailing away from the Bahamas.
Wow.
And this here is the history at Fort Charlotte.
Wow.
You know, and she told about the history of Toussaint and how he saved the Bahamas.
So
go do history.
She's always up there?
Yeah, she's always up there. She talked about the history of the fort. I found this one. I was so intrigued because I like history. And then she showed us the saw, the big saw, and how he used to cut the blocks and thing, and how he made the fort and all that. But she told the history about Toussaint.
We, you know, speaking about that, we trust me, we are interconnected.
We don't know
whether it be the Bahamas with
Jamaica,
Cuba, with Turks, with Barbados, with whatever, you know, country that you want to, you know, talk about, speak about, you know, even the great United States.
Yes.
You go to Florida, you talk about the contract. And, you know, I was watching a documentary once on Florida being built or whatever the case may be, or the history of it.
Yes.
And they could not, you know, put that documentary together without speaking about that, the contribution of the Bahamas.
Yes.
We
build up Florida.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying?
We build up Miami and all.
So we're interconnected. You know, you go down to
Little Haiti.
Inagua, right?
Yes.
You know, Inagua used to be an oasis for royals and rich people in Haiti. You know, King Enrique.
All of them used to mix.
Yeah,
from Jamaica, Trinidad, Tobago. All of them used to mix.
You speak to Haitians right now, and Haitians think Inagua is theirs.
Yeah.
They claim that back in history, I don't know how far back in history,
could be,
that Inagua was a part of Haiti. This is what they're saying, and you cannot take that out of Haitians' heads. But I know for a fact that King Henri Christophe, after the revolution and all of that, and Haiti was kind of, you know, pieced up, and, you know, Toussaint somewhere, Dessalines somewhere, and King Henri Christophe, each of them was ruling different sections of Haiti. Henri Christophe having the north, which is the closest to Inagua.
Uh-huh.
They used to be a playground for the Haitians in Inagua. You have the original Bahama Mama, Maureen Duvalier, the late great Maureen Duvalier. You know about her?
Mm-hmm.
The queen of John Canoe.
Uh-huh.
Maureen Duvalier.
Yes.
The original Bahama Mama.
Uh-huh.
Her uncle was
Duvalier.
Papa Doc.
Yes.
And she, as a Bahamian, the original Bahama Mama, the queen of John Canoe, she always spoke about going to Haiti, being picked up in the limousines and putting on performances for her grandfather.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? You have Arthur Folks, one of our past governor generals.
Mm.
He's never hid the fact that his mother is Haitian.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Carl Bethel, Marion.
Go ahead.
Arthur Folks is what daughter, I think it is.
Uh-huh.
You have the president of the
Fred Mitchell.
You have I don't know about him. You have the president. No, I really don't know. I'm not saying I don't know about him in a negative sense. It's just that I don't know the history.
Yes.
You should have said, I've never heard of his daddy or his mummy making the connection. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. But what I'm saying is I can't claim that because I've never seen anything or heard anything.
Fred Smith,
QC really,
Fred Smith.
Well, Fred Smith was definitely born in Haiti. Well, all of his brothers and sisters were born in Haiti to an Androsian man, to a Lebanese woman, mother.
Yes.
But you have the current president of the FNM Youth Arm, which is the torchbearers, Carl Bethel's son. He's different from his dad. He doesn't shy away from it.
Wow.
Carlisle speaks about his grandmother. He speaks about going to Haiti. You know, he speaks about his experiences and his connection, his ties, and knowing the fact that, hey, I have Haitian roots. I have Haitian heritage. And he's the president of the FNM torchbearers right now. Michael Folks just, you know, was recently MP for, what it was, Carmichael or so. Dion Folks was what? Minister for Labor. You have right now police press liaison. Audie Peters?
Yeah.
Right now, Audie Peters. Bahamian press liaison.
We just did an interview.
You know, come on, man. I mean, it's just so much. We are...
Rodney Munka. Rodney Rickles, even the former Prime Minister, Perry Gladstone, Chris Hughes, who looks to seem to be the next Governor General of the Bahamas and all.
I support him becoming the next Governor
General. Yeah, he'd be a good Governor General.
But the point is, though, like... We tend to focus on the negatives, but, you know, we need to move towards focus on the positives.
Unity.
You know, let's look at the positive contributions that persons from foreign backgrounds have made to this country and continue to make to
Louis
this country.
George, I want to thank you, man. You did a wonderful job tonight on Inside Industry. I know listeners had a wonderful time listening to you. You want to say anything before we go?
No, man, I'm screwed. Listen, you know,
I got to get you back and come back.
My lines and my doors open to you anytime.
Yeah, man,
listen,
awesome.
And it doesn't have to be conversations on this race and heritage and Haitian thing, you know. I'm from Camp Road.
No, I know.
You're from one side of town.
Yeah.
I'm from one side of inner city, too. I'm from Camp Road. I'm a Camp Road boy.
Five Pond
Lots and James Road, Balls Alley. That's my turf. That's where I hang. And that's where I continue to be today.
All right.
You hanging in the inner city, and I'm still
in the inner city.
We have the Camp Road Association, recognized right now by our MP, Wayne Monroe. Shout out to him, the minister.
You got to get you on the show.
Right, listen,
get the association to come on the show.
All right. I'll I'll let them know.
Yeah, we want to know what's going on.
I'll let them know. Let's bring the association the minister, on. Yeah, so like I said, man, I'm ready to come on and we can talk any number of things, man. I don't have to be this whole Haitian thing, man. Let's talk about the inner cities. Let's talk about gang violence. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, the social issues.
Everyone is involved.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those things, too.
Okay. I want to thank everyone for listening to Inside the City. I want to thank Luby George for doing such an awesome job here on Guided Radio 96.9. And I want to thank my producer, Kymet, for having the patience and giving us a few extra minutes. And to all my Facebook friends and family, we'll see you next week on Guided Radio 96.9 FM. Remember, Jamaicans, Bahamas, Trinidad and Tobago, those names given us by the European nation, okay? We are all one. All us came from Africa, all right? All us remember that. See you next week on Inside the Inner City.
Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.